This is the New King James Bible. Nice large print. Absolutely beautiful. I was surprised. I got my little package so that I could show you this week, and I just love Pastor Ben just spared no expenses. The King James, again, nice large print. There's Bible 101 pamphlet that the pastor put together that gives us some basic material that we need to help us through our walk through salvation. Just a really quick go-to that gives you scriptures. And we have tallits for you. We have anointed oil for you. We have all this for you absolutely free. We ask that you take advantage of it. Please get a pen and paper right now. You can make your, you can send your request directly to s4cbible101@gmail.com. That's for all the material. So direct contact for s4cbible101@gmail.com. So I pray you take advantage of what we are offering for free, just out of the kindness out of our hearts. The Lord told us to do it, so that's why we're doing it. And we also just want to make sure that you're getting what you need in order to make this walk strong. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have three different types of Bibles that we give out. Those are two of the three types.
Oh, amen.
They're all quality. They're all good and all free.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray, Pastor.
Let's pray.
Hallelujah. I'm going to change because I think they can hear me.
Okay. I'll hold it right now.
Okay. Amen. All right. Please stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you for today, dear Jesus. Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for the prayer assignments that went through today, dear Jesus. It was a little heavier than most days, dear Lord. But we know your grace and your mercy is all that we need, dear Jesus. That prayer absolutely changes things, dear Lord. So thank you, dear Lord, for the boldness, dear Lord, of our pastor, dear Jesus, that calls upon your anointing, dear Lord, that prays for those that are broken, that are scared, that are suffering, that are struggling, dear Lord, for your sanctification, dear Jesus. So we put those petitions before your throne, dear Lord, and we release to you, dear Lord. I pray that no one in this building or in the sound of my voice picks that stuff up after we've already prayed for it, dear Lord, and ask for your anointing to release it, dear Jesus, from us. So help us to trust and to believe in the absolute sanctification of your Holy Spirit to take on the assignment, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. And as we stand today in agreement, dear Lord, ready to receive your word, dear Lord, praying over Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, that you've given him the words and the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to direct this study that we are about to go into, dear Lord, that our spiritual ears and hearts are open to receive it, dear Lord, that we are strengthened by it, dear Jesus, that he is strengthened by it, dear Lord.
Yes.
Help us to listen intensely, dear Jesus, and be blessed on today. I pray that you feel my husband and strengthen him, dear Lord, as he show you not his words, but yours. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Drea left me all these free Bibles. Can I keep them? All right. I'm going to get my own Bible and my notes. Yeah, and I got my glasses. How you guys doing? Haven't seen you before. Or maybe have I?
Ryan.
No? Oh, okay. Well, praise God. Welcome. Welcome. We are going to get into the Word today. And I'm trying to figure out which way I'm going to put it this way. I'll put it right there.
All right. Ooh, nice suit there.
Thank you. New tie, new suit. I want to...
We special.
Thank you. Thank my wife for praying for me. We're going to talk about... today is the 13th of what? December? Which is already the 14th of December in Israel. So it's the fourth day of Hanukkah in Israel already. For us, it will be... the fourth day of Hanukkah on the 14th of December And very important thing about Hanukkah is the fourth. I have to kind of explain, because we really don't know the importance of Hanukkah, because most people don't know the story of Hanukkah. Most people don't know how Hanukkah came to be, okay? But it's very important to know how Hanukkah came to be, because it came to be as a result of an Antichrist figure. His name was Antiochus Epiphany. And boy, some people say that Hitler was a bad guy. But when a Jewish woman was asked during an interview, who is the worst person in the history of the Jewish people, and I'm sitting there waiting for her to say Hitler, she said Antiochus Epiphany. Yep. At the time, I had no idea who Antiochus Epiphany was. I just thought, has she lost her mind? Have she heard of Hitler? But when she began to explain what Antiochus Epiphany did to the Jewish people, and what he did as far as burning Torahs, I mean, it became an offense by death to even possess the Torah at the time. He would take the Torahs and take them in the middle of the courtyard at the temple area, and would burn all of the Torahs. So they couldn't even have a Torah at the time. He made it illegal for them to circumcise their children. He did everything against the Jewish people that he could possibly do. And it wasn't so much as murdering, but he wanted to degrade the people. And he wanted, so his final thing that we read about in the Bible about this Antichrist figure that goes into the temple and proclaims himself to be God. Well, that is in the future, and that'll be in the middle of the tribulation, but Antiochus Epiphanes was the first to do this, and he went inside of the temple and proclaimed himself to be God and told him, now you all must worship his god, Zeus, and also told them that now they're going to sacrifice the taboo animal of the Jewish people, pigs, on the altar in the Holy of Holies. And this was his abomination of desolation, meaning this was the act that caused his destruction. The Maccabean brothers were just fed up with it and formed a small army, attacked Antiochus Epiphanes and his army and overcame them, took back the temple. And once they took back the temple, they cleaned it out and cleaned out the sacrificial areas and everything. And then they found a menorah lamp. And they thought to themselves, now, this is what we need to know. Because we couldn't celebrate Tabernacles, which is an 8-day festival, we'll celebrate Tabernacles now. And so Hanukkah became this 8-day festival based on celebration and dancing before God for 8 days. 7 days, and then the 8th day is a great fest. Okay? So for the time that they were supposed to celebrate, they only had enough oil for 1 day. But they lit the lamp and they prayed and they began to celebrate. And off of a supply of 1 day of oil, they were able to celebrate for 8 days. And the lamp stayed lit. So the Hanukkah or the menorah lamp is based upon Zechariah and God showing them this menorah lamp. And the 4th day of the menorah lamp you have to understand is delete, which is, I'm counting in Hebrew, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalit, okay? Or the Hebrew letters. That fourth letter means what? The door, okay? So the fourth menorah lamp of the Hanukkah, lamp is the door, okay? That is the, what you call the servant lamp. That's where all the anointing lies within the fourth lamp. That's where all the other lamps get their oil from the fourth, because the fourth is the door, which is representation of who? Jesus Christ, okay? So the fourth day of Hanukkah becomes really the most important day of Hanukkah, because this is the day that represents Dalit, the door. The finishing of it is eight and a new beginning, okay? And at the end of the eighth day, the temple was rededicated, and now you have this new beginning, okay?
Amen.
Now, before we get into the study, I want to talk about what the Lord wanted me to say. And that is what he gave me about a month ago, saying that, I'm going to say, there is a group of pastors that are right now preaching that all of this that's going on in 2020 is going to be dissolved, and the church is going to have a great revival, which Trump is going to lead. There's going to be a reset in the economy, and all these people are going to get saved. And then as the church begins to take control of the whole world through Donald Trump, and we have control over the film industry and the banking industry and the automotive industry, and we have control over the seven great industries of the world. That will be the control of the seven mountains. It's called the Seven Mountains Theory. Then at the end of that, then and only then is Jesus allowed to come back, after the church is controlling the whole world financially. Now, if you're a slick, pimpish hustler, that is a good message, because people are gravitating to that because they want 2020 to be over. And they want everything to be brand new the way it was. You know, we can go back to sports and all of the things we did. The only problem with that message, and which God is not pleased with at all. The last guy that was preaching it, plane fell into a garbage dump.
Sure did.
And people warned him, this is not from God. This is a money-making scheme. But when his plane crashed, I thought that whole ministry had dissolved. Like, but no, there were many others that were still preaching this, and now it's emerged back again to tell people the church is going to reemerge, and we're going. But it completely goes against the scriptures about what's about to happen. Because if you look at society and everything that's going on in society right now, you can definitely know one thing. Satan is real. You can definitely know one thing for real, is that the mark of the beast is a real plan. And the desire to ruin the human gene pool is a real plan. And to reduce human population in the world to 500 million, like the Georgia Guidestone saying, all of this stuff that we used to say, oh, that's a conspiracy. Now it's real. And so now it's standing right in front of us in the 120th year, in a year of judgment. And what the Lord had told me a few months ago, he said, they have not seen the worst of 2020. But I am giving them the opportunity to be saved out of it, okay? Because there is nowhere in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that says, right before Revelation happens, the whole world goes into a utopia and everybody gets along and the church is rebuilt and everything is beautiful. And Donald Trump is the man and he's God's man. And then all of this stuff is things that people are trying to pull out of a religious mindset. And they go on TV and they preach like, and then they, at the end, it's always, and for 92, 95, I can send you the whole series. And I'm trying to tell you, I am not sent here to build a church. I'm sent here to warn the church to live for Christ and to be ready to exit.
Amen.
Because a marriage ceremony has been planned. And the marriage ceremony is for those who are righteous and the body of Christ. Now, this is what God did that it just blows my mind. God started the flood on the 17th of Heshvan. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
I'm here. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the of the great were broken open. And the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Now, God does not do things sporadically. If it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and then it stopped, that means God did that on purpose. And he knew that 40 days meant something.
Amen.
Let's continue. Let's go to verse 20 in the same chapter. Then it says, the water prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died. So the boat was completely over all the mountains of the world after the boat went up 15 cubits. God does not use numbers for no reason. He's trying to prophesy to you about a future event, okay? So we'll look at that later, but that's Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So let's just reverse this, right? We're gonna stop this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. And it says here, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness that comes from faith. Now, I want you to understand this. We're talking about Noah's time. And in this chapter that speaks about Noah's time, it's not talking about Noah's time anymore. It's talking about a bunch of people who get saved by what? By faith. Okay? See, it says Noah was warned about things not yet seen. And in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by what? Faith. So this is not about the law or the Jewish nation. This is about people who are going to be saved by faith in who? Jesus Christ. So the whole ark and the whole structure of the ark is talking about one man and his seven family members who got saved. The New Testament is talking about one man, Jesus, and the seven churches who are going to be saved by this flood, okay? So it is a judgment that is coming, but God was speaking. This is why Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Because the flood is talking about what? The coming of the Son of Man. Jesus, for who? For the church. So the whole flood scenario is a church scenario talking to the people of God who are going to be saved by faith. Okay? This is very important because only eight went up and the world was in destruction. And so this is what's about to happen now. Now, why 40 days? Because when it says on the 17th day of Heshvan, the flood started. The month after Heshvan, and I'm using the Babylonian names because that's Heshvan and that's what's in the Bible. The 17th of Heshvan, the month that comes after Heshvan will always be Kislev. Kislev is the month that Hanukkah happened, okay? Now, during the flood, of course, there is no Hanukkah because Hanukkah doesn't happen until about 168 BC. But 40 days after the flood begins, on the fourth day of Hanukkah, on the fourth day of Hanukkah is the 40th day. So that means God was already planning Hanukkah when the flood happened. Because God was saying, you know what, on the fourth day of Hanukkah will be 40 days after the anniversary of the flood. So the fourth day of Hanukkah was chosen by God to be the 40th day during the time of the flood, and there was no Hanukkah yet. So what was God planning for the future Hanukkah? What was God planning for the 40 days after Hanukkah? He shows it to you in John chapter 10, but let's not go there yet. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verse 1 through 3. Because you have to know why is 40 so important. I'm sitting here wondering, why are you counting off 40 days? Is 40 days so important? And 40, because Jesus has to fast for 40 days. Moses goes on a mountain for 40. All this talk about 40. Why would Jesus make the 40th day from the anniversary of the flood the fourth day of Hanukkah? Here we go. You're in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verse 1 through 3. When men have a dispute, they are to take it to court, and the judges will decide the case, acquitting the innocent and condemning the guilty. If the guilty man deserves to be beaten, the judge shall make him lie down and have him flogged in his presence with the number of lashes his crime deserves, but he must not give him more than 40 lashes. If he is flogged more than that, your brother will be degraded in your eyes. So judgment of the righteous or the innocent happens when? 40 days, okay? This 40 lashes is either you're acquitted of the 40 lashes or you're going to receive 40 lashes, okay? But the law is saying there will be 40 lashes given out, but the court is to decide what? Who will not receive it and who will receive it. Okay? But somebody's getting 40 lashes. This is why Jesus... Now, it says here, if you go over 40, the whole land is cursed. So for the Jews, they said, well, we can't go over. So what we'll do is we'll give 39 lashes. And then that'll make sure that we never go over. So, of course, Paul received 39 lashes, five different times. And, and Jesus received 39 lashes, which is what? 13, 13, and 13, which is love, 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 or rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. Because love cures rebellion. Okay? So all of this stuff, God is doing these numbers to let you know 40 is the number that is going to be, you're either going to be judged innocent or you're going to be judged deserving punishment. So when 40 days of flood happens, the 8 that were righteous were above the earth. But not till after the 40 days of flood, because now it was up 15 cubits. And after the 40 days, they were above the earth. They were innocent. But below the water was what? Those who received judgment because they were not innocent. Okay? So this is 40 is all about a change coming, judgment and a change. Okay? Now, what is the month of Heshvan on the Jewish calendar right now? It's the 8th month. What does 8 mean?
New beginnings.
New beginnings. What is the month of Kislev right now in the Jewish calendar? Comes right after Heshvan. It's the 9th month. What does 9 mean? Judgment. So you have new beginning and a judgment after 40 days. Both are going to happen, and this is consistent with what God has been telling me. Both happen in the very same day. Remember the dream I had? One side of the island was celebrating and selling beautiful flowers. The other side was having a full-fledged war, right? And God was wanting to show me they're both going to happen in the same day. And so we have to decide which side you're going to be on, okay? Because what you're fighting against in this world is, Ephesians chapter 6 said it best. It said not only powers and principalities and demons in high places and all that, but it says also you're fighting against powers. And I was like, wait a minute, what's powers? And it said powers means your will to do what you want. That's what powers are. So you're fighting against demons and all this, but God says the biggest thing you're fighting against is you have free will to do what you want. God says that'll kill you. Because in our minds, we're free beings. We can do whatever we want, right? In God's eyes, you know, I'm your parent, you live in my house, and you do what I say. And if you come under these rules, you can have a new bike, a nice room, and all kinds of stuff. If you don't want to come under these rules, you can have the belt, punishment, timeout, whatever they get. I don't know what timeout is when I grow up, but I would have loved it. But I'm telling you right now, you're going to get judgment or you're going to get reward, okay? But we're fighting against this idea. You come in and sit down. That's our daughter. That's Peaches, Drea. And the children. God, they so big now. Okay. Your lives. Okay, here we go. So, remember this. The greatest fight that you are fighting in this world is not against demons. Because a demon can only suggest to you sinful things. I can come in, I can whisper in your ear. He sure is cute. You should go over there and talk to him. Right? And a young lady could go, I rebuke that in Jesus' name because that's going to be nothing but trouble. Right? But Satan doesn't whisper it in your ear and then stay there and go do it. He doesn't push you in the back. He's just giving you an opportunity to exercise your power. And what's your power? To do whatever you want. That's what God has given every man. You've got free will. You can do whatever you want. It's your free power. Now, your free will is either going to drive you into hell, because see, you just got here. I've been here, what, almost 60 years? You just got here. You don't really know that millions of people been on this earth before you got here, and there are millions here. And all of them have a story after their leave, that none of us are a period. We're all a comma. And God has you here to make a decision, whether you want to be with him or you want to be away from him. And away from him is in Hades. So this big rescue that's about to happen in the earth, right? Because believe me, they set this whole 2020 thing up, and they are not going to waste this wonderful opportunity to control the whole world and bring everybody under their power. Now, you may think, oh, as soon as we get the vaccine, everything's going back to normal. That vaccine ain't for humans. That vaccine is to destroy humans. But see, God is trying to tell you, 2020 is going to get to a pivotal point where it explodes, and either you're going to get rescued by Jesus out of it, or you're going to be left to go through the flood. And I'd rather be on the boat.
Amen.
Okay? I want to talk about these 40 before we go. The 40, which we're at the end of, is the number, the Hebrew letter for Mem is the 13th letter of the Bible, and that 13th letter of the Bible has a numerical value of 40. What do you think Mem means in Hebrew? Water. So that letter that equals 40 equals water, because the judgment is coming. And people have to know that the judgment is coming. You can be wise. Understand that God created you. You did not create your own, even the own air that you breathe, you have not created. So now is your opportunity to say, I don't want to exercise my own power. I want to make sure that I give my power to the one who is parent over the house, so that I have a great existence living here. You understand? I've met a lot of people that got kicked out of their house simply because they did not want to listen to their mama. It's like crazy. It's like, okay, go find your own place. And then they get out there and they find, oh my God, it's hard out here. And people treat me worse than they did at home. And you go, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Like, I'm gonna go home and tell my mama I'm sorry, right? And then you get home and you go, well, you got a little rules, but at least you ain't cursing at me and throwing stuff at me. You know what I mean? It's like, because outside of the house, you think the person that loves you inside of the house is bad. God is only giving you rules to help you grow and have a good life. Yeah. That's his rules. Outside of the house, you can't trust some people. Them sharks. Yeah. So fight against your will. Let's go ahead and go to God wants me to go to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 7. We'll get to Ephesians after that. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. We'll read this. Then we'll move on to the meat of what we need to talk about here. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Now, the numerical value for the word in Hebrew for love is 13. Did you guys know that? Did you know that the chapter in the Bible that talks about love is what? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many definitions of love are in that chapter? 13. How many verses are in that chapter? 13. So God is really explaining love in Corinthians chapter 13. He's showing you what true love is, okay? Because God says he's patient, he's kind, he keeps no records of wrong, he's forgiving, because God is showing you what love is, okay? Now, let's read in Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21, and listen to this. It says here, he went out, he says, okay, now I'm going to read 13. He says, it doesn't go into his heart, it goes into his stomach. Okay, anyway, this is what Jesus is saying. Inside of man, what's inside of man is his problem, okay? And what's inside of man, he gives this. He says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within and out of a man's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Now, if you number them, there's 13 of them. So God says there's 13 things inside of you that's tearing you up. And these are all of them, and they live inside of your flesh. So God gives you Corinthians chapter 13 to do what? I'm going to overcome your rebellion with what? With love. I'm going to be patient and kind. I'm going to hope that you get enough understanding of Scripture that you finally go into the fold of understanding you don't control anything. I'm trying to get you to heaven. I'm trying to get you to real life, okay? And so as long as you get to that point, God can overcome all the sin that's inside of you with the love that he portrayed upon the cross. Because he says, I can forgive them all. I can forgive all of those sins. And I can still give you a good life. I can't believe I have this good of a life right now. Preaching the gospel, beautiful wife, kids. I'm like, that's impossible. God told me a long time ago, you stop sinning, I'll bless you. I said, is it that easy? But it was. Because cursing and disobedience go hand in hand. They're like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can have them separately, but they're always better together, right? So cursing and disobedience go hand in hand. You understand? If you want to be on disobedience, you're going to get cursed. But righteousness and blessings also go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Okay? I want us to go to John chapter 10 so we can start understanding this. Now, it's the fourth day of Hanukkah, as of the 14th. That'll be tomorrow for us, right? Or the full day of Israel. The fourth day of Hanukkah is the 40th day after the flood. We're already past the 6,000th year. We're already in the 120th year. 2020 is the 120th year. So it was already, Noah was 600. It was the 120 years after he got the mandate from God to build the ark. Okay, so we're in the perfect time, okay? Just in case you don't believe 2020 yet, you're in the perfect time of end time prophecy, okay? So right now God is like, this is your opportunity to gain life. The door is Christ. Watch this, okay? It says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. So you can't get in any other way. It says, the man who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opened the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So Jesus is saying, I am the door, and you are the sheep. Now, he says, I lead them out, but he says the word lead is the Greek word paralambano, which means to take you as a friend or a companion. We don't have friends or a companion with sheep, but he's talking about the bride of Christ. He's going to make a sound. He's going to call us out. You guys know what the rapture is, right?
Yeah.
Understand, God said there will be two in one place. One will be taken, the other one left. He's going to call you out, and boom, those who are with Christ will be gone, and those who are not will go through the tribulation, right? Because 40 separates, right? Either you're on righteousness side or you're on judgment side. But you can't be on both. This is for lukewarm people. So he's going to lead them out, and he is the door. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I am the door for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know who the thief is? He's trying to get vaccines ready for people. That's the thief. You know who the thief is? The thief is the one that closed down all the businesses. We want to control the whole world. That's the thief. Because there is a real Satan, and he wants control of the whole world. And the Bible says he is going to get control of the whole world. But he says he will never get control over my people because he'll never overcome the church. Why? Because before you can overcome the church, I'm taking the church out. Two in one place, one taken, the other one left. So he's going to take the church out before these events happen. It's our free will to say whether we want to go or not. And if you don't want to, all you got to do is say, you know, I don't need Jesus. He's just a man to me. I don't need him. That's all you got to say. And he'll say, okay, that's your free will, because I've given it to each and every human being on earth so that no one can say I made them sin.
Right.
But I've given you all the way out. I've become a door for each and every one of you. Let's continue. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not a shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and does not care for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Now I'm going to tell you who he's talking about, because the Jews right now don't believe in Jesus Christ. But at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come back and they're going to call out, and he will add them to the pen, and then we will all become one family, both Jews and Gentiles. Okay, so I want you to understand that God's plan is to save the whole world. He says, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loved me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. Who killed Jesus?
Nobody.
If I didn't want to die, I didn't have to. Do you understand that? Remember, he said, "Do you want me to call the angels?" Because Paul, who tried to protect him,
Peter.
Cut off the guy's ear. He says, "Don't you know I can call my Father? He'll send 100 thousands of angels,
legions,
and jack all these people up. You're not protecting me. And besides, if I don't want them to kill me, I don't have to die." Wow. We're talking about God doing something for you he didn't have to do. A matter of fact, if you read Psalms 22, he planned the whole thing. And he planned suffering because he knew what your punishment for sin was. And your punishment was for sin was suffering. He couldn't pay part of your bill, right? Don't pay half of my light bill. They're going to still turn it off.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'm going to pay you." So while they're trying to give him an ointment to drink so that it kills the, because that's what they tried to give him, this drink that would kill his pain while he was, and he refused it.
Yeah.
And he said, he refused it because he said, "If I'm here to take the full punishment for their sins," right? He wants to pay the whole, so that you can be completely free of your debt. And here we are, God, it's amazing. We are like standing, if this was the door to the tribulation, I would be right here. And the door is right here. And we can all see it.
Yeah.
We can all see it. And yet you still can't get people to accept Jesus Christ. They're still hoping in what? Oh man, they're gonna get us a vaccine because they really love us. Mr. Gates, oh man, that guy, I know he cares about me.
Yeah.
So he wants us all to have a wonderful vaccine that will help us just get back to life as normal so the kids can play again. Isn't this good? I'm so glad God's taking all the kids.
Amen.
He's taking all of them. So it's going to be a big problem here in a very short while. I'm just talking to the people to tell the people there's only two ways out of this, and it's not the vaccine and going back to normal. There's only two ways out of this. That is either in heaven on the ark or in the earth trying to swim. There's only two ways. It's not going to change. And when you begin to believe that they are here for your good and they really want to help you, look at what they're doing. It's so bad. I don't even trust Trump no more. I don't know if he's with them or not. Because he wants the what? Warp speed vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the doctors looked at the vaccine. She said, "There's so much stuff in there to cut your DNA and to put in a foreign DNA in your system." She said, "This is not for humans." And they haven't tested it. They had the priest over there in Italy. He volunteered to take the vaccine. Did you get that article?
No.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
He died within 13 hours.
No.
They said, "Oops. It didn't work. Oh, we better keep testing." He volunteered to take it.
13 hours.
Within 13 hours, he was dead. But see, this is the same guy that India is still trying to send to prison who made vaccines for the kids, and 46,000 kids either died or got polio from a vaccine that they made. Vaccines are not for human beings. God gave us an immune system. You get a cold, your immune system kicks in, and it fights against the cold and you get healthy again.
Yeah.
It's like you get a cut. You don't, I mean, sometimes you have to, like, you need stitches, right? But that skin is going to heal. You don't need a cut healing vaccine. Your body is already made for that. So understand who you're dealing with. That's all I'm trying to say. You're dealing with a satanic system that is on the verge of getting their way in the earth, and God is offering you an opportunity to lead.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or 2 days, you get to leave and you get the same paycheck. You understand? You get the same reward.
Yeah.
God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's very generous like that. There's a whole parable in there about the last guys coming in and they got the same pay as the people who worked for 25 years. And God says, what are you mad at me? Because I'm generous?
Yeah.
God don't care. He just wants your commitment to say, I believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
I trust him for my life. I see what's going on.
Amen. 8 minutes
left. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Jesus was. Let's read this. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And a voice that I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come on, I will show you what must take place after this. When he says after this, what he's talking about? After the church. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, since Christ died on the cross, is part of the church. And rather you died in Christ and you're in heaven, or rather you're walking around in Christ, when you hear this trumpet, you got to go.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
You've got to go rather. So if you're living in Christ, you've got to go as soon as the trumpet blows. You know why? The Holy Spirit that's living inside of you is going up to the kingdom. This is what the whole study of Eleazar. I'm calling out Eleazar to bring forth the dead. Or even if you're living for me and you're alive, it's time to go. He raises Eleazar on what day? The fourth day of Hanukkah. They tell him Eleazar, they tell him Lazarus, they tell him Lazarus is sick. Jesus says, okay, he waits 2 days. Then they come to Jerusalem again and they say, hey, Lazarus is sick, let's go back there. Jesus decides to go back to where to go and heal Lazarus, and they say to him, Maybe we shouldn't go back there. They tried to kill you there. He says, it's daytime. I've got to do God's work while it's daytime. Why? Because nighttime is coming, because in the tribulation it's nighttime, and there ain't no witnessing in the tribulation.
No, it's not.
You understand? So at nighttime, there's no time to do the work concerning grace.
Yeah.
People are going to go, oh, no, you can preach in the tribulation. You can, but ain't nobody getting saved by grace in the tribulation. You're getting saved because you don't obey the system and you confess in Christ.
Right.
So here's the opportunity. He goes back to Bethany, which is called the place of unripe figs, which means Israel's not ready,
right,
where people need healing, Bethany. And he calls out Lazarus, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, or another name for Eleazar in Hebrew, and calls forth the dead. But he does it when? On the 4th of Hanukkah,
yes,
which is tomorrow or later this evening. And I'm just saying, we have to know the day and time we're living in, because you're living in a time that is pushing the world toward tribulation. And God is crying out to the world, trust in me, believe in my son, Jesus Christ. You don't need a long record of prison ministry and walking the streets and doing all kind of stuff for God. All I need is a commitment from you, and I'll give you the same reward, even though we're at the last moments for you to come in. You'll get to heaven and people will say, well, what was your ministry? You say, well, it was like 2 minutes before the trumpet blow, and I said, I believe in Jesus. And I landed up here. They go, what?
Amen. Amen.
But praise God.
Amen.
So God is so generous that he's like, he's still calling the world to like abandon ship. Call out Jesus in these last days and watch what God does. Because I'm going to tell you, when it happens, none of the prophecies that are in the Bible that God wrote have not come true yet. Okay? So tribulation is coming true. Okay? Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading at verse 16. It says, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. It doesn't say on. Go to the Greek. So God wrote this, and this is written in 90 A.D., God already said whatever they're giving you is going to go in your hand or in your forehead. The people who created the recombinant DNA technology, the ability to split your DNA and put inside of you this vaccine, said that the best place to put it is in your right hand or in your forehead.
No.
MIT, lecture on recombinant DNA technology. It's on YouTube. Look at it, and they will tell you if you're going to get this thing to work, you got to either put it in the forehead or in the hand. God wrote this in 90 AD. There was no MIT. So that means God already knew that they were going to put something in you.
Yep. Amen.
He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could sell unless he has the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. What's the number on the vaccine? That on the vaccine, the code on the vaccine they're using. 06060 2020 060606 vaccine.
No.
You got it on our site, Pastor Ben, you know that. So now they got the number on it, they got everything, you're standing at the door, but still you think, nah. They just want to protect us from COVID. COVID is a cold. I had one last week. I don't have one this week. 98.3% of people that get COVID say survive.
Yeah. Well, we don't go to the hospital.
You know what Psalms 120 says? It is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the year 2020. Take some time and read it and tell me if Psalms 120 is not a prophecy of the year 2020. What does it begin by saying? Father God, deliver us from lies. You've been lied to. You are being lied to. What they're doing is we're setting up the world for the tribulation. Anybody who wants to stay, wait on the vaccine. Anybody who wants to go, believe in Jesus, And before this even kicks off, you'll be out of here. Because God's not going to leave the church running and trying to fight our way from taking a vaccine that destroys your DNA. You're at the door. That's all I'm saying. So this is the 40th day after the flood. This is the day that Lazarus was raised from the grave. This is the day that Jesus left Jerusalem, the city of peace, the temple of God, and came back to where they tried to kill him to raise Lazarus and call the Holy Spirit to bring forth the dead and the living. And we're here. So, my opportunity to live for God came, I think, when I was 17 years old, was the fact that I had to realize that I can't do what I want. Why is everything going bad for me? Because you're trying to be you. You listen to the TV, just be you. No, don't be you. Be what God intended you to be. You're a free will being. That's a lie. No, you're not a free will being. Your kids come to you. I want my kids to be adults and your kids to come to you and go, I'm a free will being in your house. I can do what I want. That's what you say to God in this earth when you say, I'll serve who I want. I'll have the religion that I want. They should just accept whatever religion I am. And if I feel that I want to marry a man or a woman, it doesn't matter because I make my own rules. Satan is promoting this. Why? Because there are crimes that are punishable by hell. So he promotes them to you. Nothing wrong with a little alcohol for celebration. So many scriptures in the Bible that tell you to shut down alcohol. It's crazy. But you got to... The enemy comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. I can't come to you and tell you what's bad for you is bad for you. I got to tell you what's bad for you is good for you so that you'll believe it. And then I'll get a few rap artists to show you that it's really cool to do. And then I'll put it on every TV show, and everything that's cool, that's sinful, will look good to you. And then your flesh will love it. And then the scripture says very few are saved, many are in hell. Why? Because they bought the commercial. The commercial is a lie. Life and death is real. We're standing at the door of tribulation. Accept Jesus Christ, because the trumpet's about to blow. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.